Now, local churches that were once known as strong, stable churches do now cause us problems, or who are involved in questionable practices, and some to apostatize from the faith altogether. What happened? I realize that there are varying answers to this question, and I would like to suggest to you that what has been one of the biggest contributors to the problem, and then we got the thought of the next one. Understanding the design of the local church. He's going to go through it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to make four points. And I think they just hit home. I know they hit home and like you. When I was telling you this, it just makes sense. And we're going to get into it. But what has happened over the years, there's been a decline in the local church, especially there. Like you would say back 50, 60, 70, right? They were a solid one. I mean, it's not right. The more than just the Columbia County area, it's other counties around us. And then it just starts going downhill, downhill, downhill. And I'd say we were probably hit on the bottom there. Here just a while back when about half the congregation left, that some of the reasons was the preacher that was there. But I think we're on the better side. We're starting to come back up. And one of the things that I think is the reason, I'm not going to say it comes from the same preacher, but it's because the word is being preached again. And we're going to see that in this lesson, but that's one of the downs that the decline came in. So that's the first point. The first point is that to begin with, when, say, probably a third grade peak, and probably a grade peak that most of us here can remember, there was a spoken understanding. A spoken understanding. And what that means is that the preachers and teachers taught and congregation understood the distinctive truth of the gospel of Christ. What that really means is that Son of God knew, guided us, and taught from God's word. And not just the nice fluffy stuff, but the hard stuff. The stuff that we talk about, the stuff on people's toes. Things that hurt, things that people don't always want to hear. And not only did preachers and teachers do that, but the congregation, those that made up the membership, were willing to listen and apply. To make this point, we have Roy Caldwell here. He wrote this in the New Testament Church. Some of you probably seen this book, read this book. And this is in the preface of the book. The Church of the Christ has steadily progressed in spite of ridicule and opposition until they have reached a point of dignity and respectability in the world. They are now confronted with the danger of accepting their place among the religious bodies of the world and becoming merely another denomination. It is quite commonly a subject of discussion that there is a little difference between the Church of Christ and other religious bodies. The perfect prayer and aim and the preparation and development of these lessons have been to make the distinctive position occupied by the Church of Christ outstanding and easily discernible. Members, both young and old, need to know the difference between the church and denominationalism. Indoctrination along this line is imperative if the members of the Church of Christ are to remain a people for God's own possession. And that's taken from 1 Peter 2 and 9. And what Ron was trying to make the point is he's talking back about this time when I said, like you, probably enough Christ, and a lot of other congregations, is that men work hard to take and make the church grow. And not only the men that were preaching and teaching, but the group, the congregation as a whole, took what they learned and applied everything. They applied their own lives, they applied around the world, they applied to the people they come in contact with, and it was a standard that was understood that there is one church. That Jesus died for one church, he set up one mind. That he didn't set up in. And that not anything and everything is acceptable. That there is a law that is given to us. There is instruction. And those instructions have to be preached, have to be taught, and have to be followed. And so Roland was saying here that it has come to the point now where he sees that they have gotten that position and now they're starting to go downhill. He's starting to worry. He's starting to think, well, they've got us to a place now to trust them. They're happy. Numbers are growing. We're getting out. Things are happening. And I'm starting to blend in. How can we be more like them? How can we take it and bring even more numbers in? So they started using the word that brought them to this nice foundation. and started thinking about it and said, whoa, well, we're going there when he wrote this, was very worried. And he could see this down, he said, where's your focus going, Matt? So let me get to the basics of that right over there. The Bible gives us the same instructions regarding God's plan. Let's go down. The plan of salvation of man through and all through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we teach that, we have that strong foundation, and the local church will grow. That's where it stood. That's the basics of all. We're going to look at quite a few passages, and since there is many, I'm probably going to speed it up tonight. Before I was a little slow on this one. I've been known to speed reading up here, so we're going to try to keep it moving. The Bible teaches us there that Jesus is the one means by which men are saved. Matthew 1, let's look at verse 18. Matthew 1, and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was now a child of the Holy Spirit. So when we start the whole gospel of understanding that there was one Savior, one that was born, one that was prophesied of, one to come, and how his birth was set up, how the prophecy came through the one. Verse 21, verse 21 says, "Not take this Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, not Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now we had a little discussion today about Muslims, Neil and Mary and some of us, and talking about that there's a growth rate of him. And then that increases our own sacredness. And how they're growing, my thoughts are. And this really goes back to the same basis I'm talking about tonight here at this point, is that they're learning. They care about their religion, and they push it. And they don't let things blend in with it. They don't let people manipulate it. And they don't give rights to it. That's what they stick to it. And we talk about it, you know, to the point that they're willing to kill on us. But that's why they're growing. It's because they stick to it. And here we're talking about this one Savior. We need to understand that there is only one. And all that other ideas creep into us. Let's go to John 14 and look at verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now he tells us here three things. He says, "I am the way." That's singular. We need to understand that. There's only one way. One way. And he also says one truth and one life. Now that gives us a step-by-step pattern, not there. So let us understand that when we're trying to get down to the basis of what God wants, to have the life, that we make sure we're on the way, and we have the truth. Now, the world would have us believe, they put billboards out there, and you can just go to the church of your choice. And you can just listen to whoever wants to teach you whatever you want to hear, and you can just fine. But that's not what Jesus confessed, you know. Jesus said there's one way. He says, "I am the way." That means there's one path. And he says, "The truth." There's only one truth. You can't have both the truth. There's the truth and there's the lie. But that didn't make you go to the right one way of victory, but that didn't make it. And then everybody was jealous and laughed at it because there is only the Bible in the world, really. And that's what the point Jesus is making here. He is the way. He is that truth. And together, that's what leads to the new life. That's it. So when we talk about these basics and why the church grew and why they were so strong at that time frame, it's because they taught that. They pushed that. Acts 17 and verse 31. "Because he was appointed a day on which he was judged the world and righteous by the man whom he obeyed, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." He said, "He's on the front chapter." So we know it says through his word will be judged. But he has put in place. But that's what they taught. And membership understood that everyone had two fathers. You can have any office from the other brethren that preach, and especially those that are over congregations. And I'll tell you that he gets to the point that if you're worried about keeping a job or even being able to do the job, you're a little worried about what the audience thinks of. But how's it going to sound when you preach this one? There's a difference. I don't know if I have to worry about getting up here tonight and worry whether or not I can preach the word the way it says, or whether I need to sweeten it up so that God will take and shake my hand when I'm sober. God has people that don't shake my hand when I'm so mad. For me, and I used to just read most of the scriptures without my pocket. And just reading scriptures wouldn't shake my hand when I was so mad. That isn't me. Shouldn't be. I should be able to get up and preach the word of God. And those who are here accept it as being such. And if it hurts, it hurts. Do something about it. And I don't mean you that as a preacher, but showing you that God's done why it hurts. It means you need to fix something. It doesn't mean you're a bad preacher. But I'm here to tell you that we have to deal with that often. No matter where you're at. You saw it in your mind, it's just there. Well, how tough can I get this morning on that subject? Can I nail it down just like the Bible does? I'm going to have to walk around just a little bit, but I don't have to spot it. Believe me, it's sad. I don't know if I go to other congregations. And I know they've shown some there, and now I've done it, and I've shamed myself for doing so now. But after a while, I probably won't teach on that subject when I get there, because that would just be a hard one for them to accept. So I'll preach on a different subject. But I would be ashamed on me. But that's what you do, and see, that's the problem. I'm just declining the tongue. If we go back to what we should, it shouldn't matter. I come up here, I've been able to take the previous lesson, just think about it anymore else. And whether you want to hear about that, that's just really my problem. Like I said, it's hard. I'm a little blunt sometimes. But now that's the truth of the matter. And that's what happened at this time. The Bible always says there is one church that belongs to Christ. We're talking about there's a church of your choice. Don't go to the church of your choice and be happy. I made a point when I was teaching this or another lesson here lately that out of all the people that I've talked to in the last year or so, no one that has told me that they're looking for a new place to attend has told me that they're looking because the truth is not being talked about. Every single instance that I've had someone tell me that they're looking, I just talked to a fellow 2 weeks ago. He took and called the building and left the message, and I called him back to my house. And he said, well, obviously, I had to where I'm at. I'm looking around and just want some information. And again, the reason he was looking, he was looking to start the I had another fellow tell me, well, I just don't have anything ready for my age group. No programs, no things going on. I'm just not happy with what I'm receiving from them. And that's the problem. People don't understand that there's one church, one law, one way, no set of instructions. It doesn't matter whether or not I'm getting the play or having social group or go blowing the people of my own age. It doesn't matter. What matters is serving God, worshiping God. That's what matters. So when we talk about the one church, so many verses I'm going to skip. But Matthew 16 and 18, upon the cross I will build my church. Jesus said that himself, I think. I will build my church. That's singular. He didn't say, I will build many churches so everybody is happy and content. And he said that one. He said, I will build my church. One. The world would like to complete that, and you write these scriptures down and go, let's say that for a minute. But we're going to move on. The Bible also teaches that there is one plan of salvation for men to be saved. Also, we're going to have to believe what I said about immersion and baptism, and sprinkle, and pour, throw a little water in your face, we can have infant baptism. They want to change the plan of salvation to suit their mood, their needs, their physical needs. Let's look at Romans 1 and verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. When we talk about struggling with the climate of the church that we started looking at, this is one of the reasons that they did well. They were not ashamed to teach you. Sometimes it's a little hard when someone's talking about being saved and how God loves them, and how thankful they are. And when they start talking about their children and having them baptized or christened, or this other lady was talking about this other thing the other day, it is just really hard for us to tell them, that ain't right. Here it says, he's not ashamed to put that out there. So we don't talk about this decline, life that way. It's because nowadays we're ashamed. We're ashamed to speak up and say, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's just wrong. That's something that shows that your church is doing a major possession of something. That's not right. That's not what's acceptable. Are you talking about? Are we ashamed? Paul said he wasn't ashamed to teach that there's only one means of salvation. And all he's done is don't count. Paul wasn't ashamed. And he came here and talked about this thing when the Christian and the church was growing. They were going to shame either whether they were taught bad about learning, or whether they got a dirty look, or somebody said something ugly about them. They were not ashamed to teach it. What do we stand on that? 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul here came over the Christians, they were on the cross. And a lot of it, he's trying to get them to go back to the very basics. And he tried to push that, even though they're thinking bad. They think bad of him. And the Lord was trying to take him, even claim that he's not even an apostle. But here he is still standing firm with the word of teaching, and they're going to do the same. So we're talking about this as his first, his spoken understanding. We need not to be ashamed to teach the truth. Now I got to tell you, sometimes it's very hard for preaching. And you know why it's hard? Because of congregation. I know y'all are going to die. It's true. That's why I like to preach the job so hard. It's congregation. It isn't really easy for me to get up and listen to that kind of life. How hard is it really to take God's word and just write some notes down and bring a lesson? It's not that hard, is it? You know what makes it hard? Those are all willing to accept. And here at this time frame, they were willing to accept it. They were willing to work. Well, let me get to the next section. We have a spoken understanding. And we're going to start seeing this decline. It goes to unspoken understanding. It goes to where, well, we've preached on this so many times. We've heard this so many times. It's all about lesbians. Lesbians, a good number of our members, are somewhere in the late 60, early 70 range. A lot. There were a lot of lessons on the same thing I do. Over the years, they've been pressing the same topic over and over and over. And that's how it is. God only gives us one set of instructions. All right, well, when this all started back in 1950, it was getting real strong. And this movement got up, and you know, Roland was worried. He wrote the book, trying to make people understand we really need to stick to these basics. His idea was, well, we've spoken on this so much. Let me just don't need to worry about this topic. How about fellowship talking? Okay, we're talking about institutionalism. And all this, well, that's a hard subject. There's a lot of debate over a lot of us. It's going to mellow down for a bit. Everyone's going to split. We just leave it alone. We just won't teach them. I can say, even when I was growing up, as a child, I knew what was right and wrong. But I can tell you that. I have three or four preachers that we had where I grew up. I can really not tell you that. I can say any one of them probably went from institutionalism. Any one of them brought a lesson on fellowship talk and Bible. Now they may bring up an interlist and this and just make a point about it. But they were really nailed down to subject. And so my own childhood age around that range, yeah, I knew it was wrong. But I'm just going to take examples. I couldn't pick up scripture and tell you that they were. And that's just started to decline. Okay, it's mentioned once in a while. But the subject is not nailed down. And it's about them, that would make people happy, right? Well, let me get to the subject, you know, we ought to think about it. You know, this morning I talked a little bit about modesty and regret and then what's appropriate and not. Some people don't like to hear that advice, especially when you start nailing things down of really what the Bible shows is appropriate and inappropriate. They don't like to hear that. But it really can just bring up the last week, you need to say you're going to the heat in there, and you're going to call them. Well, there's this whole period of time. Well, that's what kind of lesson people have. I can remember my early childhood. And that's what kind of lesson. That's all I can ever remember these sort of nights. Yeah, that was still true. It still made a point. But that's sort of the raw, base, bland type of lesson. It wasn't the same. We just going to have a lesson today on drinking and why it's wrong. just not a single lesson, just a nailed down lesson. I don't have to. And most of the others, majority of our meetings, the guys that I've done, this is fine with them. And they just got away from these good nailed down type lessons. So he was a nice brother to understand. He understood it. It's sort of mentioned, but it's not really spoken. It's not forcefully put out there. This is God's word. This is what he means about it and want to do. So really, if the preacher teaches to go on and talk, the college courses, they thought, well, the congregation understands. Everybody should just sort of teach it at home. So when they quit teaching, they quit pushing it. Here's Dave Miller, who's writing this in his book, The Power of the Strain. He makes this very idea. Because there was a time in the Church of Christ when there was a spoken understanding. That's what we just talked about, that wasn't it? That members of denominations were lost because they were not members of the church described in the text, which is the 3 points we looked at earlier. Alright? With time, we moved into a period of unspoken understanding. Everyone knew what state denominations were in. It was understood, so we shied away from verbalizing it, carefully assuming. But I don't think it's just this one topic. I think it's all topics. A lot of topics. I think it's just brushed over. Yeah, it was sort of spoken of, but it never was done. Yeah, man, there was just no good strong basis on single substance. I understand that. I believe that's a lot of what I don't remember. And you know, I know he's making this point of it. The Bible warns us about the great need of keeping the truth of the gospel of Christ. In front of us continually, reminding ourselves of the distinctive truth of God. Ken Young was making the point of this one home today, that it's real hard for our regulars coming here this evening. That it's real hard sometimes as a preacher to give us the next lesson. Because we go back through and think about the words of God for us. You know, I just went through that and really, you lived in 4 months, 2 years ago, but we still remember, we put a lot of time and effort into it. But it's like, well, I just spoke on that. And then you start thinking that it's real hard because, like I said, we only got one set of instructions. So you try to bring it up in sort of a different manner, or take it and use the same, say, story of David and in a different form to make a different point. But sometimes it seems like you think on the same topic over and over and over. The thing is, we need that. A teacher that I have for an intern teacher down in the Lake City down late for math, middle school math. I had her as a high school geometry teacher. And when I came in to take over the class, she told me, she said, first thing, she said, don't worry about repetition. And I'm like, why? I said, as a teacher, that really seems a bad thing for a teacher down over and over. She says, no. She said, most of the audience needs to hear at least 3 times from the sweet counselor. So she said, if you're going through a geometry group, she said, say it at the first of the lesson, say it in the middle of the lesson again, and close with it one more time. And she said, maybe they'll tell you what happened to some of this difference. So when we start thinking about preaching and the need for this spoken understanding, we get it all the time. Even if it's the same point over and over, maybe when we talk about the same subject 3 times in a year, it's probably still needed. And I know it makes you feel bad as a speaker, saying, well, I've been talking about stuff for 3 or 4 months ago. But then truth is probably easy to hear. And I got that lady to talk, and she said, Jenny, it will make a difference. And she said, don't think that you're just repeating yourself. She said, no, it's really neat. And I agree with her. The Bible commands us there that it's only one truth. We look at John 14. And we look at these other scriptures as well. The timeline, I'm going to keep moving. As you write it down, the Bible says there's only one truth. And that one truth must be spoken. It's not something that can just be here or walked over or taken and let it just blend in. The Bible commands the truth is to be continually preached and taught. They go back all the way to the law of Moses. They would take and teach the kids. They would put the law on their doorpost. They would put it on the front of their head. They would put it in their things on their arms. It was to constantly be in front. And you know how the children of Israel started to decline? God served us constantly in front of them. You know why they got took off to these other countries? Because God served us constantly in front of them. You know why the local church is starting to decline and get worse and worse? It's because God served us constantly in front of them. But that's what I'm saying. As preachers, we started to think. Because we didn't nail down these subjects. We didn't get in God's word and say, this is what he says on this subject. It has to be that way. We just went, well, they understand that. We'll just make it as one point in a broad lesson. We'll just bring it up as one point, and they know what's going on. They'll do. You know, most people don't. and the cross. They don't know exactly why. I said, I didn't know why. I shouldn't tell you what this is why. Give you verse for verse reason. I was just 4 years old, a little boy. Then went to every service, didn't miss. I had a man come pick me up, take me to service for Wednesday evening. But I had a dance every evening. And I wouldn't dance. Because I knew I shouldn't be dancing for Wednesday evening. I didn't dance. One lady come over and she goes, why aren't you dancing? And I told her, I said, it's wrong. She said, who said it? I said, the Bible said it. And she can tell the words. Now, I'm saying I was ashamed, so let that moment, I said, I'll tell her. Now, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong to get out there and shake and then bump and touch each other the way they were doing. I knew it was wrong. I said, no, I always know that it was wrong. But I can tell you why. And you know what? Because I'm going to have to have a lesson in 10 minutes of what I told you. The nice broad lesson. But I didn't see it coming. That was just one point about me in there. You know? You just shouldn't have. Why? I can tell you. Show no more. They won't know that I was raised under. But that part of this other culture, little group here, of what this lay out. The Bible warns that when the truth is not truth and talk, error will follow. And we can look at these verses here again, but I just made three or four real good examples about the children of Israel and so forth. The next one, it goes from understanding, unspoken understanding, to unspoken misunderstanding. Take a moment to let that sink in, because once you quit thinking on the subject, just like myself, even though I care, I have to my heart, I won't do much right. I don't even know why that's right. So how easy is it to go from I don't know why it's right to someone like her, being 6, 8 years old when she was camp counselor, to just try to tell me why it should be right? At least you just jump on that bandwagon and start doing what you said was wrong. Is there any chance? Without even somebody told me it was wrong, but I never was told exactly why it was wrong. And she makes a real good point why she thinks it's wrong. Well, what about her fault? How did she think about a better argument on it than I ever heard? So then we start thinking about spoken understanding. This is my grandparents' time. Then it starts coming into my aunt's uncle's time. Several of them have been unspoken understanding. And my uncle preached that when I was growing up when I was younger. He had a lot of distinct wrong way of lessons. I'll tell you one. The unspoken misunderstanding. That's coming down to my generation. And believe me, we fight that hard, I know. How about we just look even among our own number? I don't know everybody here. But those grandparents, can you say that all your children went to church services today and were faithful? Why not? Was it maybe a period of unspoken understanding after that? Parents, how about your children? Are they all faithful? Are they faithful at all? Where they at? And ladies, this is where I'm at. There's two full generations completely gone. Others completely gone. Not about one of them. Is that we have a lot of our own folks that's about that age, and even some of them moved in. And none of their children are faithful. None of them. And when I brought this lesson, one fellow told me, yeah, he said, I said, I don't know. Well, I don't teach them. And they left. And then they left. And their kids would be their grandkids. But it's okay. That's two full, whole generations of people that are visiting. I don't know. There's some our age, we moved in. There's not many my age. There's some, my two boys' age, but pretty much. 40 and under? If they want to move in, they're all gone. And I can tell you from going there when I started right out of high school, 16, that it was right here to the second and third point. That's where it was for a couple of years. Just unspoken misunderstanding. Well, this is what we used to do. This is what's been taught on them. And then they're not going to teach their children. So when the children ask them, can they do this? Well, I tell you, folks, you're wrong, but I don't know why. I can't tell you why. Why don't you see if you really think something like, oh, I don't know. And so the grandchildren, the children leave. And if their children are doing things that the grandparents don't approve of, these parents start to leave. It's just what it is. So your preachers and teachers and our chiefs and the congregation have a funny understanding of the gospel of Christ. Like I said, I've seen it firsthand. Coming from here, April 2011, they did something. I see we have grown up a generation of people who have no idea of the things that we believe we have grown up. A generation of people who have no idea about problems the churches of Christ experience today relating to the issues that have divided us in years gone by. I know I have made some uneasy when I say, if it's between me and you, I have my doubts about you. Well, I'm the only person I know who is. Said we used to schedule meetings for God's meetings 5 and 6 years ahead. Not now. You know, we don't know what type of position they will take on certain issues concerning the church today. So here you see how we've got all these men that are working in the gospel, and how it sort of made this progression to well, we're in good shape, but we need to be careful. So okay, well, we're in a bit of trouble. So him speaks in and saying, yeah, even right now, I have a hard time even knowing if I can take and set up a future 5 or 6 years in advance. Because I don't know where he stands when he comes that time. And then what are we going to do? Because of this unspoken understanding and anger. And that's a shame, no anger, but it's the truth. I know when growing up, men that I used to think the world has let me down many times. Things that I thought they would never do. And so, taking the meeting of the church and doing some of the things they've done, I thought it would never happen. And it happened. And I really believe that most of it is because something's what broke down and they started to do. Some of my statements for this man right here, Jesus said, now there's a whole generation that has no idea or just a crazy, fuzzy little bit of an idea of the matter. They don't even know God when he's taking this thing. The Bible warns us about the danger of idleness. We must never take for granted that our brethren are from the truth, nor that our children understand the truth. I often sit down with children and grandchildren and just ask them, what is that wrong? And just see what they tell you. Just see what they tell you. Because I'm telling you, if you don't tell them what's right, they don't hear that constantly. Someone else is a clear talker than you are, and they're going to pull them away. And that's just talking about children and grandchildren. How about as a congregation as a whole? You say you try to convert someone, you try to teach someone, then you just do a half-hearted job of it. You don't really nail things down. There is somebody out there willing to offer them something that seems better than God wanted. And I guarantee there's somebody out there that can sleep close way better than I ever did. And talk to someone against it and leave it. So we start talking about the local church and the decline. That's what David means. You do not have a firm grasp of the mind, you will fade away. Again, there's some more verses here if you want to tell. The Bible gives us a clear warning of the need to teach the truth for the rest. We're running again. Put it on the doorpost. Put it in front of their face. Teach them constantly. It needs to be there. It needs to be in the home. It needs to be in the church. It needs to be everywhere. God's word should be outstanding. The Bible gives a clear warning of the need to teach truth to our brethren. I say the local church is falling away. That one, coming up today, who's going to take care of the church when you're gone? I don't know what you want to say. There's a whole bunch of babies. I went up there and I told them there's somebody over there. I said, some of your wives are going to get my wife. They'd be crazy on me. And they were laughing at Adam. I said, you don't got you. He's there to be for a follower just make your coffee work right. That's what I was for. You say that too late. But the truth is, that fellas coming up, how far was that? In 18, two whole generations ago. They have nobody. And they can say we're all saying that take up the rain for preaching peace. Or even for each family to stay around. They have nobody. You know who they depend on there like you? People that moved in. I moved in, my brother moved in, my dad moved in. Another man moved in. There's a single now, his wife died on. And there's another family that moved in. We take care of all of them. A preaching, teaching, the Lord's Supper, everything. It's called the people that moved in. Why? It's because of these 3 reasons we talked about, and they have lost them 2 whole generations. It's because of a lack of this strong teaching. They have nobody. We have to teach. We have to be strong. The Bible warns us of the ever-present danger of error. if the truth is not taught, error will creep in no matter what. No matter what. That's our lesson in principle. You say to God, you pray to God, you either keep the weeds out or the weeds stay on. That's how it works in God's Word. You either keep the weeds out, you keep the place that's supposed to be there, or the weeds come in and take over. So I have the point and another point. Let me have the last point, Lord, that one. There's a spoken misunderstanding. It comes from where people just start teaching what people want to hear. Preachers, teachers, the congregations are proclaiming that their message, their worship, their word is not distinct from any other. They understand themselves to be one of many. We're talking about that word of liberal church now, don't we? That's what that is. Well, they still want to make church Christ, they're going to get rid of it completely. But they don't want to be seen as separate from the world either. Well, we're going to start accepting this. We'll start doing this. We'll start looking like this. This morning I made a good point about from the mouth of David. When he was saying that they're getting ready to change their sign in the front of Lakeview, they had just a process real nice metal sign. We had just this old board sign with the name. We was all happy with it, because that really didn't matter. The truth wasn't matter. And they took them off this real nice metal tube sign and gave it the highlight, you know, red up, things we inside messages in. You know, pretty sign. Little boy all of a sudden, he goes, I like that sign. I'm like, yeah, he said, Sally looks like everybody else. So he has a mouth face. And why do you think some of the things you do? Do you need some brain here? I'll tell you, when it comes to churches, the more you try to bring in, the farther you get away from the church. I'll tell you that. This man here, and though I don't know, this is the man that made me pray to drop this point up, he'll say that. Because church is church of Christ, just like it was, but not a physical church of Christ. For starters, musical instruments are used, although there is still one off of fellow service. Although the church has a baptistic view of baptism, so it's just for a word, so it's fine, it's not really for salvation. That is that baptism is required for salvation. Recently, this church, which has some 5,000 members. Why do we have 5,000 members? Because he's not on teaching the truth. That's why he has 5,000 members. He's living in real life. They even come to the point that they have changed his name from Oak Hills Church of Christ to simply Oak Hills Church. We have to do that in Columbia County. Not more than 3 miles from Randville. They decided they don't want to go to the Church of Christ because of the way the world seems to come. Well, let's get that out of there. And now they're the heretics or something. I don't know. Still claim to be a Church of Christ, but they're ashamed of the name. They were too. Because we receive criticism, of course, in this. The last thing is that we're not here to please other churches or other church leaders in other cities. As a church in San Antonio, our goal is to reach San Antonio. So pretty much he said, I don't really care what the truth is, what everybody else is preaching the truth is. We're here to get to reach these people here. So we're going to do whatever it takes to reach these people here. So how did we get to that point? The chapter we've been looking at. The exact chapter we've been looking at. The Bible warns us that our word error will lead. It will not lead us to God, but will lead us away from Him. And from salvation we have in time. To be a pathway from Him to the devil's hell. That's exactly what we need. The Bible warns the destructive nature of following, and we can look at everybody first at the timeline and we're out of time. The Bible warns that there can come a time when when we are no longer the Lord. Revelation 1:9, he's been speaking of the churches, and he's talking about removing their candlesticks. Why? Because they have left it. They have left it for slow. They have quit being strong. They're taking them and being bitter water and sweet water. All these things that we think of that come up in God's Word that shows that people read God's Word and even read them. Look at all the children of Israel, all these things we have left. They left God, God left them. Why do you think we have the whole book of Genesis? They leave Him, He left them. They would come in and conquer, they would beg for mercy. He's sitting there just to help pull them out. Alright, get a little more comfortable. This time full of decline again, we see. Happen again. Begging for mercy. Then they're judged. Well, they have a whole bunch of judges. This decline. We'll take it back to it again every time. That's what's happened in the last 46 years to the church. The Bible warns of the doom of not being in Christ or being Lord's church. I'll give you a second to try to copy those verses now. The Bible is very clear. Our people think that they do like the Father and think that it is more important to please the people than please God. I don't know. Because I was just warning about that. And the apostles there, and how they were brought before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin warned them with threat of their life to quit teaching. And they said, who do we listen to? You men or God? And they said, we can't keep from teaching the truth. So in that, we need to understand that he must be talking. So here we have this decline. And I have to tell you, ladies, I see that. I see it very clearly, and I've been in an even place I've been fine. It is very clear that at one time the Lord's word was preached with this heart. The congregation wanted to hear the truth, and they accepted and followed the wrong thing. And then it comes to a point where you're like, well, we spoke on this, we taught this very hard. We just start to mellow out of it. The people know the truth, they understand. But we really want conversation. We want to dial into God's word and study. Why do you think so many people miss Bible classes today? Here's what I'm going to say. Why do people miss so many Bible classes today? Because we got in the form of the word doesn't really fall hard during the Bible class. And people start saying, well, I really don't need that time. I'll come here and lesson, and then I'll hear about an offer. We need the Bible classes to keep us from getting into their hands, unspoken understanding, and all into the next one. That's what Bible classes are there for. To love us, to study, to make sure that we're alive. And we have to admit unspoken misunderstandings. Then you don't really know the truth. It's really easy to be misled. And then once you're misled, it's really easy to teach false and doubt. And break away and have all these liberal churches that have to be with them. And the whole idea was, well, why did they say these things that you know? They said, that's Church of Christ. That's their thing. We're Church of Christ. Are they wrong? Are you wrong? We have to get that. That really is hard to teach people that they're wrong. When they can look at another group and still think to be God's church, they say, well, that's what they still believe. How can you say that you're right? The deal with the same actions, and you're wrong. It's not because of these practices. So in conclusion, we need to take a look at ourselves and see where we stand. Where are you? And I know you are deep preachers very strong. And that has to be something that you got from that that really pushes God and will nail things down. Because I'm telling you, congregations are getting to this area where they just have someone that takes and just makes everything nice and sweet to hear. I call them love lessons. That would bring out the nice loving things that's in the Bible. Creatures that do that, they are not helping you. I can tell you, they are not helping you in the least. They are hindering you and they are hurting you. Yeah, you may like to hear every lesson they got. You may go out smiling every time, but I'm telling you, they are not helping you. So when you think about it, what do you stand there? Are you nailing things down? Or are you sort of just letting things slide? Or are you starting to really slide? Think about that. In conclusion, when we just talked about it, we see today is a right and wrong for everything. And we have to nail things down. We have to get back into God's Word, then dive into it, and get to the heart of everything. Find out what God expects of us to do. Every time we come together, we offer an invitation. One of the Jesus himself is offering, you know, all you that are heavy laden, come up to me and I'll give you rest. And what's the way? He gives it to us. To become a child of God. There's only one way. We don't talk about that. One truth. We offer that same invitation tonight to take and become a child of God. For those that haven't come to a child of God, maybe you've let things in your life slide. Maybe it's just full of lack of knowledge. I don't know what the case may be, but you need to understand you have to be right with God, and you're going to accept them. If that's the case tonight, take the opportunity to make about a volume of that kind of opportunity. So we always offer those invitations. Those that are available to us, and those that have, and go back into the world, make your life on the side. And we'll be more than glad to have you just come forward when you stand in the presence.